Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Suffer for sins. Just want to serve notice that that's not going to happen again. It happened once and that was enough. Amen. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We got enough right there to shout the rest of the year on. The fact that what Jesus did, what he suffered, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Darren, that's the goal. That's the end result, is to bring us to God. Amen. Some people are waiting for that to happen in heaven. I'm experiencing it right now. I'm not waiting until I get there. I don't know about you, but I've already died. Amen. Being put to death in the flesh. Listen to this. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. And once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but to answer a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. If you're a visitor here, we welcome you. Kevin, it's so good to see you guys. Amen. Been a while. Amen. But if you're a visitor here, we want to say we welcome you. There's a lot to get into right here, but I got to be careful that I don't preach 10 sermons in one, because you won't get out of here in time to do anything. But remember, we're not worried about time, right? Well, I'm not worried about time. We want to try not to worry about time. Amen. So he's talking to us about what Christ suffered, bringing us to God, bringing us into that relationship. And then what's amazing is he starts going into baptism, and he starts talking about Noah and how all of that went on. To those of you that don't know the Noah story, I want to share a little bit of that with you, because what I want to preach to you today is the battles in our mind. We have a huge battle that takes place in our mind. Can you say amen? The biggest battle that I fight is in my mind. It's amazing what your mind can do. It's amazing the thoughts that you can think. As a matter of fact, some of them you keep to yourself, because if you would share your thoughts, the person sitting beside of you would not be sitting beside of you. Amen? Some of us are weird. Actually, all of us are weird. Remember the guy at work? He said, man, that guy's weird. And I said, we're all weird. I said, you're weird. He said, you're weird too. He said, but you're my kind of weird. So what we do is we all just find our kind of weird. Amen? And that's who we hang out with. But it's our thoughts that make us and break us on a daily basis. Jason, it's so easy for doubt to move in. It's so easy for fear to move in. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives us an armor to protect us from those things, because we understand that in this world we're going to be touched by that. But Genesis 6, 5 and 6 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. If you've ever heard a preacher say that there's no way you can grieve God, then I'm telling you, God can be grieved. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is a God of feeling and emotion and relationship. Amen. When you look up this word, God saw the wickedness of man. When you look up the word man there, it's different than when you look up the word man when it's talking about Noah. When it's talking about the wickedness and God saw the wickedness of man, the word that it uses there is Adam. And Strong's defines man in this sense using these words: of common sort, low, mean of low degree person. Others have used self-centered, unconscious, animalistic, operating by instinct. So we must see that the wickedness of man had turned him into this place where really what he was doing it in a state of unconsciousness. This man was so controlled by his flesh that his thoughts had become evil continually. The default setting of a man in that day was evil. And it operated on that setting over and over and over, to where the Bible would say that his thoughts were evil, not just once in a while and not just most of the time, but continually. And I don't know about you, but it seems like to me, as I look around the world that I live in now, it seems to be paralleling the time that Noah lived on earth. Can you say amen? It seems to me that agendas are being pushed and evil is being thwarted and being embellished and pushed, not just every once in a while, but it seems like to me it's a continual bombardment of evil in this world. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so we see this man in his evil state. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want to get too deep into this and mess with your head and you leave saying, what was he talking about? But I believe that in every one of us, there is the ability to operate in this sense. I believe that every one of us has the ability to let evil take over on a daily basis and let our thoughts go crazy. Does anybody want to confess right now? There are some days that you fight it. There are other days you give into it. There's some days that you think about the bitterness that you harbor towards somebody and you just can't let it go and it just goes on autopilot. Amen. There's other days when you try to think good things and you fight against it. What makes the difference from one day to the next? There are some days that our mind is ready to take on hell with a squirt gun, and there's other days that we're ready to just sit down and cry and say, I give up. There are some days when we wonder if we can take another step, and then there's some days when we say, I'm ready to volunteer to the Congo. Darren, which way do I go? There's a battle that takes place. But in this state that this man operated in, he had absolutely no power. And without getting too theological, there was something going on that the Bible said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And the Bible says when they went into them, meaning that there was giants in the land, and there's a lot going on right around this area. Now, I don't want to get into Nephilim and all that and talk about, but I do want to tell you this. There are spirits that are trying to plant seeds in our thought life so that it can bring us to a place of demise, and I didn't just stop in Noah's day. That's going on today that we live in. Amen. You think sometimes, and maybe not all of us, the Bible says the young man will see visions. Your old man will dream dreams. I know why it says that. Because old men can sleep long enough to dream, and the young man got to go to work. So I still consider myself young, Kevin, because I still go to work and I don't have time to dream. I think you got to get X amount of sleep to dream, right? Ain't that how it works? Or at least remember them. I don't hardly remember anything that I dream. Anybody with me? Raise your hand if you don't remember your dreams. Raise your hand if you remember them. Look around at all the old people. He said, your young man's going to see visions. Old men, people tell me that not only does the devil attack them when they're awake, people tell me that they attack them in their dreams. Which means to tell me something, and it's trying to teach me something, that the battle is right here. You have a conscience and you have a subconscious, and you got to be really careful what you say when you're conscious, because there's a part of you that picks that stuff up and it'll take it to bed with you while you're sleeping. Do you know what I'm saying? So I see this, and Darren, when I read this and I'm reading the story of Noah, there has to be a spiritual implication, more than just the cubits and more than just the three stories and the 50 and all the numbers that add up, and we can teach that. But I see something in this story that shows me something so powerful about me as a person and as a Christian. There was a low state. The old writers called it the ego, and they got so many names for it. But there was a low state when man was ate up with self. All he was concerned about was himself. What felt right, what tasted right, what if this was it. It was all about his senses, and he was completely controlled by his senses. But when we look up the name Noah, and when we look up when it talks about he was a just man, it is a completely different word from low, self-centered man. The word man there comes from the Hebrew word, not Adam, but the word is simply I-S. It's pronounced Esh, and it doesn't mean low state. It means high state. It means higher man. It means champion. So you've got 2 degrees right here. You've got a lower state and you've got a higher state. And there's one thing that separated them, and that was water. Oh. There's only one thing that separated that animalistic nature from the thing that rose above that and would recreate. There's only one thing that separated it, and it was water. God said, I'm going to destroy man, and I'm going to destroy him with water. Take you back before you forget. 1 Peter, listen to what he says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Let me make something really clear. I don't care how many times you've been baptized in water, that does not mean you're saved. Y'all know my story? I got baptized a lot, a lot. The scripture said he brought me through many waters. I quoted that as my baptism experience. I'd go to church, I'd go to the altar, and I'd try to live right. And the preacher would say, you need to be baptized, and I got baptized. I went to the community church, and I'd fall off the wagon, and I'd try to get right again because they'd preach on hell, and it'd scare me. And I'd go to the altar again, they'd say, you need to be baptized, and I'd get baptized. Then I'd go to the little town church, and same thing. I don't know if this is y'all's story, this was my story. I'd go sit in a pew, and I'd feel bad about my sin. I didn't want to go to hell, and I didn't want to burn forever. And none of that, I didn't want any of that. I didn't want none of that because I knew what it was to have a coal stove, and they would say, that pipe gets red, and it really does get red. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be in a coal stove. So I'd go to the altar, and I'd pray. I'd say, we can't preach hell like we used to. We can't. You know how it is when you stand on that vent? I don't do anything. But hell was hot, and they preached it straight. And I'd get scared, and then I'd leave, and the fear would wear off. And I'd come back, and I'd get baptized again. Clarence Duncan baptized me. Margie Hatfield baptized me. All kinds of people baptized me. But I still wasn't saved. So he must be talking about a different baptism. Must be talking about a different type of water. Because what's amazing is the same water that judged the low lives, that's the only way I know to say it, is the same water that made the higher man float above it. I found a place. He goes on to say, watch this.
putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism does also save us. There is a baptism that saves you from that depraved nature and brings you to a higher realm. Let me say it like this. There is a baptism that picks you up out of sin and sets you in heavenly places. You see, when I said lowlifes, you thought I was talking about somebody else. I was talking about every one of us in that state of lowness, in that state of depravity. I'm glad that I found a bottle of water that can lift me up out of the pit where there was no water and set my foot on a rock and establish my goings. There's a water. The same water that picked me up is the same water that'll judge the nations. Do you see this? All this takes place in your head. You know where he said he would meet with you? He said there at the ark. The Ark of the Covenant, there at the mercy seat. He said, I will meet with you. How much time do I got? Can I do this? Do I got time? I read about 3 arcs in Scripture. And if you got more, tell me, because it'll probably add to this thought. One was Noah's Ark that was being built. The other was the one that Moses' mommy put him in. And the other dwelt in the tabernacle. The Ark of Noah, the Ark of Moses, and the Ark of the Covenant. I found out that the Ark that Moses built, he told him to put pitch on it. He said, pitch it. Put some pitch on it. And when you look up that word pitch, there's only one place in Scripture that it is translated pitch. That Hebrew word in every other instance is covering or atonement. If you look it up all throughout Scripture, one place it's called pitch. Every other place it's called atonement. Oh, do you hear me? I don't care what kind of wood he made it out of. If he didn't have it covered, it wasn't going to float. There are people walking around and they have built structures and they have built theologies and they have built all of this system. I'm here to tell you, it will not float unless you have the atonement covering it up. I don't care how great your theology is. If the Spirit hasn't been applied, it's not going to help. Amen. Noah found grace in the sight of God. Because he put that atonement, that pitch on the ark, he landed on Ararat, which means to reverse the curse. Let me try it over here. Judgment was coming, but because he had the atonement, he landed on a place that was titled Reversing the Curse. Do we get that? Thank God for the covering. Thank God for the covering. The wood, I don't care what kind of wood you're walking around with. If you got the atonement applied, I'm here to tell you, there ain't no judgment that can overtake you. You'll rise above it. Moses' mommy saw that he was a goodly child. Hid him for 3 months. When she's getting 3, that's a good number too. We can talk about that too if y'all want to. But she hid him for 3 months, and when she figured out she couldn't hide him no more, she built a little ark out of bulrushes. And you know what bulrush means? Absorbent. Who builds an ark out of absorbent? That's like, here, Josh, I'm going to send you down the river in a sponge. What are you building that boat out of, sponges? Is that going to work? Nope. He definitely going to sink. But you know what? Put pitch on it. She pitched it, but there was something else she put. The Bible says slime and pitch. Yeah, you ever read that? You're like, what's the slime, Nickelodeon? Slime and pitch? Why not just pitch? Why didn't the pitch work? Here's what's crazy. It's not even the same kind of stuff. It's a totally different word. It's not the stuff they put on Noah's Ark. It was something different. It's a different word. And when you look it up, there's only two places in Scripture that it's used. One place is on Moses' little ark, and the other place is in judgment when God's going to destroy him with fiery pitch. Everybody with me? Am I boring you yet? If you're interested, raise your hand. You want to know the rest of the story? If not, I can. Okay, you're interested. Either you really are interested or you lied a lot, we need to have an altar call. Because, man, when I was reading this, I was like, there's something to this. I'm like, how am I going to pitch this? Okay, that's my only dad joke for today. Maybe not for you. And this pitch, the only other place that I can find it in Scripture, it means judgment. And then I got to thinking about it. Noah found grace. And the atonement was applied. Moses was going to bring the law. Let me tell you what the law brings with it. It brings, what does it bring? It brings judgment. You know why it brings judgment? Because you're not as good as you think you are. And just when you start thinking real high of yourself, the law tells you exactly how low you really are. It tells you how depraved you really are. So Moses, the lawgiver, is on the way, right? But God had to preserve him to bring the law. I got to be real careful. Let me do this. What? Moses, when Moses was born, there was a decree to kill all the male babies. Amen? You got to watch a generation that the devil tries to attack in infancy. Let me say that again. Let me give you another example. Jesus. When Jesus was born, you know what Herod said? Kill the babies. Let me tell you what the devil was not worried about. He wasn't worried about the babies. He was worried about what the babies would become. Raise your hand if you're 40 years old or older. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're 35 or older. Give me my 40 people again. 1973. How many people was it born after 1973? Keep your hand up. 1973, keep your hand up. You know what happened on 1973? A decree went through this nation. It was called Roe v. Wade. And you know what that decree said? Kill the babies. So you got to watch a generation that the devil attacks when they're in their infancy. See, I was born in 1977. And let me tell you what the devil wasn't worried about. The devil wasn't worried about a little bald me. He was worried about a big bald me. 1973, the attack had already came because the devil seen that there was a generation coming, a generation that God was going to use to do something fantastic, to do something powerful. How do you know? Because the devil did everything he could to try to stop me. I believe there's some people sitting in this room right now that the doctor looked at your mother and said, you need to get rid of her. I'm here to tell you, I got a God that had a plan and he protects what he's going to use.
Yeah, man, that's good.
Protection. The judgment was protection. The atonement was protection. How does this all come together? Glad you asked. There's another ark. When God took Moses up on the mountain to give him the law, you know what else he gave him? The plans to the tabernacle. You know what that means? He says, hey, here's the rules. I know you can't keep them. So I'm going to make a place where we can meet and you can get atoned for what you mess up.
That's real good.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Now let me say it again. Let me tell you how gracious God really is. He said, here's the law. Here's the law. I'm going to show you how low you are, but I'm going to make a place where we can meet that can bring you to a higher plane. I'm going to bring a place of atonement. There was another ark. It was the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm here to tell you, in that covenant, in that ark, there was law and there was mercy. There was the law that was in the covenant. There was the blood that was on the mercy seat. I'm here to tell you, there was a place where I could overcome the law, where I could get the grace that I needed through the blood. Man, I was reading this and I had another sermon to preach. until I started reading this. Why? I got a choice every day which side of the water I'm going to be on. You say, oh, no. I've been brought above that. Watch what happens when you sin. The devil brings condemnation and you join in. It's why we walk around sometimes with our head down. Because our conscience isn't right with God. But he said this baptism, not about the washing away of the flesh, but it's answering a good conscience toward God. So let me tell you where the battle takes place. Right here. You know what amazes me, AJ? Is there's people walking around thinking I'm bound as a Christian. You know how bound they are? They're so bound they can't sit through a 45-minute service without going outside and putting some kind of substance in their body. But they're free. We was talking about somebody one day. Sorry. I don't even remember who it was, but I told him, we're in the truck, and I said, something is wrong with him. And he said, no, not wrong, different. I said, no, something's wrong. He said, Dad, you can't say wrong. It's just something different. There's something different. I said, there is something wrong. So we get in this argument over whether he's wrong or different. And you know what? We live in a world now where nothing's wrong. It's just different. Yeah, I'm going to win this in front of everybody. That's just different. No. There's some things that are just wrong. Right? You know how I know? Because Jesus got off the boat and there was a man that was possessed by legion. And he came running down the hill and he fell down and he worshiped him. And then Jesus cast out the demons, right? And people came by and said they saw him clothed in his right mind. That means before he was in his, not different mind, wrong mind. Deductive reasoning. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of people walking around the earth in a low state. Controlled by their own desire. And I'm telling you, that's the wrong mindset. Amen. They're walking around self-absorbed and it's wrong. No, I'm just different. No, you're wrong. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to beat you up while you're wrong because I was wrong too. And you know what I deserved? I deserved judgment too. I broke the law too. I didn't deserve what Noah got. I didn't deserve grace. But let me tell you about a God that loved me so much that the same thing that destroyed the old man brought the new man to the surface. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you right now, you need to get it so that it can wash all that judgment away and bring you to a place of power. Yeah. Wrong mindset will drive you down, Kevin. I'm not talking Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking, Scientology, none of that. That stuff don't work. I was at work one day and I said, man, you are so negative, I'm going to start being positive. Timmy, I told him, I said, I'm going to be positive. It wasn't an hour later, I was aggravated. I said, this loader is a piece of junk. They said, I thought she was going to be positive. I said, I'm positive it's a piece of junk. You can get up and try to be positive all you want. You can have your faith in a lot of stuff. But if you don't have it in this life-giving flow, you're in trouble. Oh, you said it this morning. I can pray to Buddha all that I want, and I'm not going to get an answer. I can pray to Muhammad all I want. I'm not going to get an answer. I'm going to walk around even more confident in my low state. But this water, this baptism water, he said, I baptize you with water. He said, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That baptism makes all the difference between judgment and glory. Genesis 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. There's your word man. And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. We get to pick. Listen, I'm a free will guy. Free will. I believe it's the gift that God gave us to choose. Them Calvinists teach you that certain of them are selected to go to heaven, certain of them selected to go to hell. It's just the way it's been all selected. That makes you a robot. I seen a meme one day and it had a Calvinist and they were Googling something and it said a Calvinist. When that little thing pops up that says, I am not a robot, showed a guy just sweating. You came here today and you had the choice whether you was going to worship or not. And let me tell you where the battle took place. In your mind. No, preacher. My body made the decision today. No, it didn't. No, it did not. Your mind made the decision. You know how I know? Because Aunt Mary proved it. Aunt Mary used to come to church with a cane. She'd walk in. Like this. And she'd go sit in her seat. And then she'd start worshiping. And the next thing you know, Aunt Mary didn't have her cane anymore because she didn't let her body make the decision. I need prayer one time. I didn't know Aunt Mary real well, but I found out about her. Somebody said, go let Aunt Mary pray for you. And I went over and said, okay, it's great. Little old lady, little frail lady. No, sir. Something came over her. She about beat me to death. Now, I'm not joking. She didn't just play. See, we're so nice to y'all in prayer lines. We lay our hands on you. We're real careful not to mess up your lady's hair. If, you know, we don't do anything like that. They didn't care. You'd go to Aunt Mary and Clyde's house, and they'd pray for you. I went to their after she beat me up. I went to her house to pray. They brought the oil. Yeah, see, some of y'all don't even know. Yeah. Aunt Mary walks in. She's got about this much oil and says, we're almost out. I think we've had this bottle for years, ain't we, Tracy? So Aunt Mary and Clyde start praying for me. I had hair then. It'd been real bad if they'd hit me up now. They just started pouring. And the whole time they're praying, they're pouring. And I start feeling it. It's going down my neck. It's going down my back. It's going down my arms. I was like, please stop praying. Just stop. Please stop. And they kept praying. Finally, I mean, it's so bad. I just said, oh, well, give in. Pray all your, it never stopped. We're so kind to you when we pray for you. Aunt Mary would beat the devil out of you. Does anybody know who I'm talking about when I talk about Aunt Mary? Amen. Couple people. Look, y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever get her to pray for you? Yeah, how'd that go for you? You thought I left my helmet at home. She walked in like this. And she could have said, I'm too tired. And she could have said, it's too hard to get to church. She could have said all of that. Man, I'm going to make some tough Christians in this church. But you know what she did? She didn't let her body decide. She let her spirit decide. And we can listen to the flesh and stay in that low state, or we can rise above it and walk in the spirit. Because when the water comes, it elevates you out of that place. Is everybody with me? You get to decide. Tomorrow when you get up, you get to decide. You get to decide when you leave here. You get to make the decision. Because you're a believer. I'm not trying to get you saved. You're already saved, right? If you're already saved, you got choices. You got a voice in this thing. That means when the devil comes, you don't have to walk in that self-pity, self-loathing, self-centered, oh me. You can rise above it and you can say, through the Spirit, I am more than a conqueror and I will rise above this. Come on, musicians. The best part of it is Noah's name means rest. God is so gracious and we don't even realize it. You know how gracious he is, Andrew? The Bible says he makes small the drops of rain according to the vapor thereof. That's grace. Could you imagine? I mean, if raindrops are like this big. I mean, think about it. See, I don't think about that when you read scripture. Maybe I'm weird. But he said, you make small the drops of rain. I'm like, appreciate it, Lord. I couldn't imagine 50-pound raindrops. You're walking outside. But no, God's gracious. He's so gracious that he does all of these little things. Because he wants to elevate you into a relationship. Come on, y'all start playing, because I got three more sermons in my head right now, and you better go. The atonement brought me to a place of protection. The law also had to be protected, so that it could show me what I actually deserved, which was judgment. But what you know is cool about the Ark of the Covenant, where he said, there, I'm going to meet with you. It wasn't covered with pitch. It was covered with gold. Deity to relationship. He said, there. The mercy seat where the blood was applied. The law, the tables of covenant were right underneath. The law was there. Mercy was there. His presence was there. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. I think I'm just going to walk above it all this week. And just stay in fellowship with him, because the goal is to bring us to God. Amen. The purpose of the ark was to get Noah to that place where the curse could be reversed. And he could walk in fellowship. Your choice. Your choice. Come on, Debbie. I want to pray. Debbie's got a need. And I believe that we serve a God who's able to meet every need. She's standing in right now for her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Amen. How many people are going to help her pray? Believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.